had the blessing of being able to go up to Lake Placid for a few days. My sister lives up there, and just get away, and it's beautiful up there, and between the lakes and doing some hiking and stuff, and it was just really nice. It wasn't hiking; it was like walking on pavement, but it was outside, so that counts hiking. And I was telling Pastor Sheetman, and he's like, "Well, how about I help you and just preach for you Wednesday night, so you can clear your mind, really just not have to do that." So I so appreciate that. Before I turn it over to him, I just want to remind us that regardless of what the state or federal government legalizes, sin is wrong. All right. Just because a certain substance is now legal or could be legal, just because murder is legal, murder of unborn children, doesn't make it right. It's sin. So let's remember that. We have a higher law than the law of the land. We have the law of God. And I'm not saying that we go back under the law, but there are some commandments that, yes, under grace, but let's remember that. Let's remember just because someone said it's okay doesn't mean it's okay. All right? So I don't know what you're preaching on. Hope it's not that. There you are.
Well, go in your Bibles tonight. We're going to go over to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. I heard there might be snow tomorrow.
Yes.
Did anyone else hear that? Just winter reminding us that it exists, even though it's going away for a while, that it'll be back again. Don't worry about it, Brother Rice. It'll be okay. Amen. While you're turning there, I'm going to read a verse to you in John chapter number 1. Turn over to Ephesians 1, and once you get that, go to Galatians chapter 4 and hold them both. Give you some finger exercise tonight. John chapter 1 and verse number 12, it tells us, "But as many as received him," speaking of Jesus Christ, "to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And tonight's messengers, I was looking around my house, and it's an old house, and there's a lot of stuff to be done. And even though we've been there almost a year now, it's coming up close to a year here this spring, there's still a large list of things to be done. And not nearly as many as I hoped are checked off the list, as I wanted to be checked off the list. But it's easy to look at all those projects that still have to be done and think, man, like, this is rough. There's just think of all the work. And then it takes a minute to step back and say, hey, remember when we touched the walls and our hands were black afterwards because of all the cigarette smoke that was just, you know, on everything? And we had to wash walls like four times to get everything off? I think, oh, that was... So it's not quite as bad as it was. You remember when the paint color was this? And remember when that didn't work? And some things are getting fixed. Amen. Tonight's message, I hope, is just a reminder to you of some of the blessing that is in your life. Amen. It's a blessing for the sons of God. If you're not saved tonight, this isn't for you. And I hope that if you're not saved tonight, you get that taken care of so you get in on these blessings. Amen. But God has blessings for those who are his sons. And the idea here tonight is to talk about the blessings of adoption. Amen? You and I are adopted. We're adopted, spiritually speaking. We're adopted into the family of God. And we're going to read those verses. I hope you have Ephesians chapter 1 here tonight. Ephesians 1, let's jump to verse number 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ," talking about God Almighty, "who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." It's important that that happens when we're in Christ. "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself." As John said, "as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." And here, Paul is emphasizing that. It's by Jesus Christ. You get the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. You know what happens when God saves a sinner? It shows glory to him, because we don't deserve to be his child. And when he takes us in, he's taking in something that's below his station. He's rescuing the street urchins, if you will. And that just shows his grace and his glory is his goodness towards us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter number 4. Verse number 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. I mean, what a blessing if we think about tonight the fact that we are the sons of God, that we're adopted into the family of God. You know, you should look at the world and feel like, I don't fit. You should be uncomfortable when you're surrounded by people who are not believers, because that's not your family. If I went over to the Rice and you were having a family reunion and I come walking in, hey, I'm here. Like, I don't know anybody here. I, depending on what side of your family I was visiting, they might say, who's this white guy? This guy over here. I, you know when Brother Rice gets into his kind of his jive talk there and he gets going a little bit? I can't do that. I can't do that. Is this being broadcast? I'm going to get in trouble. I can't do that. And, you know, he gets going a little bit. It's when Miss Frediani, after she comes back from a trip to the South Country, her accent comes back a little thicker than it was before. And you stand out when you're not in, mixed in with your family. You should stand out in this world because it's not your family. And around God's people, you should fit in because that is your family. And when you go out and you have to work 40, so up from there, hours out around lost people, it kind of grieves your heart. That's one of the reasons we have midweek services, to be an encouragement halfway through the week to remind you that, hey, whatever you do out there is a testimony of who you are inside. And it should wear on you a little bit to be out there if you're not leaning on the strength of your Father. We should not fit in with this world because we're not part of it. This world is not our home, just a passing through, amen? And we're going to spend eternity in heaven with our Father. And there's a few blessings that come with the fact that God took a sinner like me and he said, I'm going to make you my son. You are now joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You know what the first blessing is? I'm going to go through them quick. I know it's Wednesday and we don't stay here that long. I tend to preach, no matter how short I want, 45 minutes. It won't be that long tonight. Take it easy. I usually come with one page of notes. I have four tonight, but we're going to go through them quick. Amen. Philippians chapter number 3. We're close there. Go to Philippians chapter number 3. The first blessing that comes with being a child of God or being adopted into the family of God is in Philippians chapter number 3. Look with me in verse number 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Paul says, I'm willing to give up everything that I could work for, that I could earn, that my privilege brought me, that my education brought me, all the riches I might have been able to build up in this life. I'm willing to give it all up that I may glorify my God and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Why is he willing to give that up? Look here, verse number 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. Paul's desire, he's willing to give up this world and all that he could earn in this world just so that he could say, I know my God. 2 Peter chapter number 3 tells us in verse number 18. 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace. Paul ends these, or this is Peter in this case, ends, they end the letters with like what's the final words of encouragement. What am I going to end with? And Peter says, you know what you need to know? To grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You know what the first blessing is of being adopted into the family of God? You have the privilege of getting to know God. You get to know God. There's rich and powerful people in this world. I tease my brother Matthew, because he works for Amazon, about his Uncle Jeff. That's what he said. This is what they call him around there. Around the warehouse, he said they call him Uncle Jeff. You know, he's a rich and powerful person. I was just talking with somebody. I believe if Jeff Bezos, the guys at Amazon, and the guys at Apple, they have a lot more power than probably the president has. They throw a few switches and buttons, and they can change the world a lot. You know what? Those are some powerful people. And a lot of people want to get to know them so they get access to all that power and authority and money and prestige that comes with that. You know what, Christian? We are granted access to God. Amen. Before, in the Old Testament, God would come visit some people. They could plead for God to listen to them, but they didn't have the promises that we have because we're the sons of God. We get special access that Old Testament saints didn't have. Do you realize what a blessing that is tonight? As much as we lift up some of the saints and prophets of the Old Testament, they did not have the promise of getting to know God the way we get to know God. Amen. We are promised that we can get to know Him. We're given tools to get to know Him. And the Bible is one of those tools, amen? God gave us His Word so that we can study it, we can read it, we can get to know who He is, we can appreciate Him, we can understand Him more. I can't say that I understand God, but I should try. And I can get to know Him little by little. He is infinite and eternal, and I don't think my body could understand Him even if I tried. My mind would just... But man, I can get to know Him. I can spend time with Him. I can spend time in His Word. Hebrews 4 tells us that we can come before the throne of grace. Not just come, but to come, what's the word? Boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because we're His son. We're not, as Esther had to come before the king there, hoping he would hold out the scepter and accept her request or she would be killed. That's not how we have to come to God. We don't have to hope, I hope today's God's in a good mood, or He's going to strike me dead, or He's not going to listen to me, He's not going to care. No. Because we're His son, we get that access to God. And we can come boldly before Him. John chapter 14 tells us that we have the Spirit of truth, that Holy Spirit that lives in you and that lives in me. And these things work together. The Word of God, the prayer opportunity we have to come before the throne of grace, and the Holy Spirit, those three are tied so closely together, and it's what allows us to get to know who God is. I listen sometimes to debates and things on YouTube, people who are challenging the scriptures and that, and then some responses to it. And it's sometimes comical to hear people who aren't Christians explain the scriptures. Yeah. You listen to that. Look, the Bible says, and, can't wait for this one. And what they say, it's like, that's not at all what the Bible's saying there. Why? They don't have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth that's opening the scriptures and guiding them through it. As I got to preach a few weeks ago about Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, there's a man who wanted to understand, and he says, how can I except someone guide me? He was missing that part of it. The world can have the Bible, but without being a son of God, you don't get to know God through the Bible. Anyone in the world can drop down on their knees, point their face toward heaven, and say words. But because we're the sons of God, we know we can do it boldly, and we know that He's listening. Anyone can say, I feel God here today. It's just so beautiful out and the wind's blowing and God's just... But God couldn't be within 100 miles of him. But you know what I can say? God's here tonight. Because I know I have the Spirit of God in me. And He's with me no matter where I go. But you know what comes with all this? It's giving us a great opportunity to know God. But it's up to you and I to use these tools. I heard a preacher once say, you're only as close to God as you want to be. Every Christian, at least in our circles, I mean, there's places in the world where we're just reading a letter from Brother Hearn in Nepal trying to translate scriptures. But every place I go, here and in Mexico, most places, they have the Bible. You can get it at Walmart. But that doesn't mean you're going to get to know God unless you use it. We pray on Wednesday nights. But I hope that's not your only prayer. Or you're missing out on the God that wants to get to know you and wants you to spend time with Him. You know your closest friends? They're the ones you spend time with. They're the ones that you've been through some things with. You got to spend time with God if you want to know God. So, it's a blessing. It's available to us. But you've got to decide, I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it. What's the second blessing that comes from the adoption of God? Go with me to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. This is one of those ones that doesn't seem like a blessing, but it is a blessing. You ask any kid in King's Club tonight if this is a blessing, and they'll probably say, no, no, it's not. But that is the chastisement, or we could say the correction of God. The correction of God, or the chastisement of God. Let's start in verse number 5. Hebrews 12, 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation. What's an exhortation? It's an encouragement. It's something that's supposed to build you up. What's the encouragement, Paul? Or I keep saying, yeah, Hebrews. That's one of those fun ones. Brother Perrin, who wrote Hebrews? Exactly. It's an exhortation. It's supposed to be an encouragement, which speaketh unto you as unto children. What is he saying? What's that exhortation, that encouragement we're supposed to get? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. He says, you know what an encouragement is? You get chastised of God. You ask your children tonight, isn't it a blessing when you get spanked? Man, it's just an encouragement. But it's critical. And that's why as parents, if you're a parent here tonight or a child who has grown up under that, you realize that it is a blessing. It is a help in the long term to discipline and chastise and rebuke and correct things that are wrong. Why? We see why. For whom the Lord loveth, verse number 6, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Ooh, know what that tells me? If God loves me, he's going to chastise me. If I don't get any chastisement, what does that tell me, Miss Frediani? There's two things here. There's one, I'm perfect, which that's never going to be the right answer, or God doesn't love me, as in I am not his child. Now, we're not talking about the judgment on sin. That's for everyone. This is chastisement. This is a little different. It's a doctrinal thing here, but the chastisement is the correction for sons to produce something. And it says there, let's keep reading, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. This is just for the sons of God. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. Anyone give testimony tonight? I got correction from my father. That happened a couple times, all right, in my life, I can say. I've gotten correction. And we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. That's not pleasure as in it like puts a big smile on my face. It's at like their own discretion, their own judgment for their decisions. But he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. We can all say amen to that. No one likes it when you're in the middle of chastisement. It's grievous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. That's the blessing that comes with the chastisement of God. We know that, as I've said, chastisement is not pleasant. When the Holy Spirit of God convicts you, and you know I have something in my life that doesn't belong, or I've acted in a way that doesn't please God, or I am in outright rebellion against the things of God. And then there can be consequences of that in your life. Now, when you live in sin, as a child of God,
I don't think God has to, for this is a little heresy here, watch out now. This is a lot of the consequences, that we would say trials or problems in our lives, I think a big chunk of them are just because we're sinners. And when we sin, sin brings destruction in your life. The way of transgressors is hard. If you're going to live a sinful life, you're going to have a hard life. Right? But there are times that God's, I'm not going to let that just, you made a bad choice, now there's the consequences. But he says, there's consequences, and if you keep going, he sees down the road further and says, that's where that's going to lead. So, no, we got to talk right now. We got to deal with this. I had a discussion with almost three of my children yesterday at different moments throughout the day, and where we sat down and said, this is what you did. This is, you know it's against the rules. You know the rule. But it was one of those times where it's not just, you broke the rule, here's the discipline. It's, you broke the rule, here's why we have the rule. Trying to give them a little bit longer term aspect, especially as they get older. My baby is 12 years old. My baby Anna, she's getting old. The time for that physical chastening is closing fast. You know, that's not something we do. I don't remember the last time I had to give her a spanking. Like, but you know what she needs to start understanding now? Is where these actions lead, right? That's what God sees, that you and I sometimes lack the vision and understanding to see. God says, Brother Rice, I could let you get away with that, but you're my son, and I love you. So I'm going to come down hard on you because I see if you keep down this road in 5 years or next week or tomorrow even, you're going to be in a wreck. And I don't like chastening. And I can't tell you what form that chastening is going to take in your life. We can look through Scripture and see examples of how God chastened people. And I pray to him, not that one, Lord. I don't want that chastening in my life. Show mercy, show grace, show patience with me. Make it a soft chastening. I think it was today. I had a discussion with one of my children. She disobeyed. I said, go bring me the spanking spoon. And that's one of the everyone should have a spanking spoon. It's otherwise known as a wooden spatula or something like that, right? She brings it to me. And she's just a racket in tears. And we talk about what you did wrong. And I said, now go put the spoon away. And I didn't spank her that time. I don't always. I like to show them, hey, there's mercy sometimes. And that's what I pray to God sometimes. Hey, Lord, please show me mercy this time. And I think a lot of the times he does, really. Yeah. Not nearly as chastised as I might be. But then I wonder, hey, that chastisement has a purpose, though. And it's a consequence of my actions that I get it. And it's not because it gives God joy to make my life harder. And this is what I constantly tell my children. I don't want to spank you. I hope I never have to spank you again. But who is going to decide if that happens or not? The baby, immature child says, you're the one spanking me. You get to decide. No, here's the rules. If you stay in the rules, you decide. You decide if you're going to go outside the direction you've been given or stay inside the direction you've been given. Christians, that's true with you and me. But even when we get chastened, let's remember that it's a blessing because of verse number 11 tells us, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness. God is looking at you and I, and he wants to see a righteous, holy child. Someone he can bless without hesitation. Someone he can look to and use without having to clean up and polish and prune some more back. He wants to see vessels that are fit for honor in you and I. And we think, I don't want that. I want, you know what I want? I want brownies and chocolate and pizza all the time. But my wife reminds me, that's not good for you. Here's some broccoli. I just got the woolies thinking about it, that wool thing. So bad. But you know what that tells? As Christians, we live in the world. We want the things of the world. Our flesh wants it still. We want to be selfish. We want to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We want those things. And it takes the mature one into room to say, no, you can't have that. No, that's God. He's not telling us not to have it because he wants to take away something fun from us. Every once in a while, like I said, I have those talks with my children. Sometimes it's obey because I said so. You know, that's all you need to know. I don't have time every time they disobey to have a half-hour conversation about why this is the rule. But every once in a while, we have those conversations. And one of them, you say, I don't remember what it was. But man, it was like I said no to something, and then it was like the very next day, an example of what could have happened if I had said yes. Like there was a result there, and I was able to point to that and say, hey, you know why I said no yesterday? Because look at this. Look what happened. I'm not saying no to make your life harder or to make you miserable or to rob joy from you. God doesn't say no to sin because, man, he just wants to make it. He wants us to be just uptight, bundled, repressed people who are just under constant bondage and fear of God and correction. He's trying to save us from a lot of hurt. What's that fruit of righteousness? What's the adjective he uses there? Peaceable. Peaceable fruit of righteousness. Who doesn't want a little bit more peace in their life? Peace in their soul. Peace between them and their God. That comes through chastening. That's only given to sons. The next one, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. We have four. Those were the two long ones. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. As sons, we get some blessings being adopted into the family of God. First off, we get to call God our Father, and we get to know him. And what a blessing that is. I've been talking in our Sunday school class about when Christ came and all the Gentiles were then able to call Jehovah, the God of Abraham, their God and their Father. What a change that was for the world. And you and I, we get in on that. We get to know who God is. We also get the correction, the chastisement of God in our lives to guide us, to give us a peaceable life, and to produce righteousness and blessings in our heart. We also get the comfort of God. And it's fitting that that comes after the correction, because after the correction, we need some comfort. And in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, says in verse number 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. There's something tied to the comfort which we like, but that is comes after the sufferings. You suffer, then you get comfort. Do I need comfort if there's no suffering? No, because I'm already in comfort, right? The comfort comes after some suffering. Now, I think I want to step away from self-imposed suffering, because we kind of talked about that in the correction part. But living in the world, there's suffering that comes just from being alive, that everyone goes through. Everyone is going to suffer loss of death. Everyone is going to suffer the loss that comes with health issues. Everyone's going to suffer certain things in their life. But you know what we have? We have a Father whose name is the God of all comfort. What a blessing that is to know, hey, I don't know if your father was very good at comfort. Most of the time when kids want comfort, who do they run to? Mama. Now, sometimes there's probably different households where it works a little different. And that's a Catholic teaching. Right? That's why they go pray to Mary all the time, because Jesus is just mad at us for being sinners and walking away from him. And Mary is the loving mother saying, oh, calm down, Jesus. It'll be okay. No, love him and be patient with him. It's blasphemy, right? That's not what's in the Bible. That's straight up heresy. But that's where they get that from. But Scripture doesn't teach that. Scripture teaches that God is a God of all comfort. He's the God of chastisement, but after he's the God of comfort. And when we correct our children, no, it's very important that we do at the end. I learned this from my father. Here's a Kleenex. Take 5 minutes. Calm down. It's all done, and then we give comfort. I love you. I don't want to have to correct you again. We're here for you. This is over now, right? It's done. It's all taken care of. Now let's go forward together. I'm your daddy, you're my daughter or son, I want to help you, let's go. That's the one related to correction. Sometimes it's the scraped knee, the fall out of the tree, and it says, I'm dying. Everyone have a kid who, no matter how hard they get hurt, they scream like they're at death's doorstep. And it's just like that scream that goes all the way through you. And it's like, ah, and you're like, oh, my, it's terrible. And then 5 minutes later, they're laughing and ready to go play and run around. You got to moderate yourself here, all right? You can't just, every time you get a scrape, scream like it's the end of the world, right? But we have a God who is not going to say to you, put some dirt on it and get it back out there. We don't have a God who says, go talk to your mother, or I'm busy. No, we have a God of all comfort. Take advantage of that God. Go to him. We read earlier that we can cry, Abba, Father. That's our God. One who loves us and is desiring for us to come to him, to pray with him, to spend time with him so that he can comfort us. And then we have a responsibility. What we do with that is then we show comfort to other people. Amen? And that's part of the comfort that comes with us. And we don't have time to go into all of it tonight. We're told in Scripture that if we draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to us. Once again, God's there. What are we going to do with him? Are we going to draw nigh? Or are we going to say, I got this? And let that burden, let that trial, let that pressure that's in our life weigh us down and put us down until we can't barely stand and we're at the point of collapse and things are falling apart and our marriage is apart and our job is stressing us out and everything in our life is just, ah! And you say, when was the last time you prayed? Oh, it's been a while. When did you spend time in your Bible asking God to meet that need? Oh, you know, it's just so busy right now. Hey, God is waiting to comfort you as we cast those cares upon him, for he cares for us. That's the RSV, the Royce Heitman version. Amen. Galatians chapter number 4. Let's look at the last one here. Galatians chapter number 4. We get to know God as the adopted son. We get the correction of God. We get the comfort of God. And you know, there's a lot more promises that come with being the son of God and adopted into his family. But I like this one a lot. Galatians 4, verse number 7. We read this. I want to read it one more time. Wherefore, thou art no more servant, but a son. And if a son, then what's the next word? And what? Heir of God through Jesus Christ. That tells me if I'm an heir, there's an inheritance coming with it. Amen? That is the promise of heaven, that it is our inheritance. As Jesus told them, I go to prepare a place for you. Amen? Christ is preparing a place for us. Why? So that we could spend eternity with our Father. Amen? What a blessing to think about that through all the suffering and strife and problems and heartache and temptation and victory and failure and blessing and destruction, that at the end of it all, we have a home in heaven with God. Don't forget about that. Don't let that just become like a cliche that you hear at, you know, funeral services or memorials or when we sing I Got a Mansion Over the Hilltop. It's true. And when we say this world is not my home, or we say don't put so much time and effort into riches here because what matters is eternity, there's truth in that. But yet we live like, man, I got to get it now. If my life isn't perfect now, I'm walking away from God. If I can't have the house or the land, or if I can't have the money or the vacation or the success or the position in this world, so many Christians say, God is not with me. God is not blessing me. Christianity is just not working out for me. That there's no answer. And we're all focused on what's right here. And God might be saying to you, you don't need that because this is not it. If my house never has a white picket fence in front of it, that doesn't matter in eternity. And I should be living for what's coming on the other side. That's a blessing that we get as sons of God. Hey, this isn't it. Now, we know what the alternative is for those who are not the children of God. But even those who don't believe Scripture, who are lost and they don't acknowledge that, what do they think they have to look forward to? Just nothingness, cease of consciousness. What would that do to your mind and your heart if you think, you know what, this is, as soon as I die, that's it. Then you put all your effort and your treasure. I was telling my son those three T's, the time, the talent, and the treasure. Like, if you ever don't want to preach, that's a great message. Time, talent, and treasure. Now, what can we give to God? We dedicate all that to what's here and now. And as a Christian, we should have a much more long-term view. There's people you can't trust with money.
My wife thinks I'm one of them. That if I gave you a check for $20,000, you might have it spent before the week's out. Like, we got stuff to do. And there's those stories of people who win the lottery and then end up broke because they don't know what to do with it. They get conned out of half of it, they waste the other half, and they don't realize how quickly it goes, right? And, man, I can't. If I gave my child, let's say I gave Lydia $500, she would think she's the richest person in the world. She would. We just pulled out of the gas station the other day, and she says, that was $65? Yeah, that's how quick that goes, right? that's a week there. If we drive nice, you know, that's a week of gas. Right there, $65. But you know what? She would spend it quickly. It would be trips to Walmart, and in a couple trips, it could be all gone. And she would want to do nice things for other people, but you know what she doesn't understand? She doesn't understand what a down payment on a house is and how much money that is. No concept of that idea. And if you tried to explain it, which I did when we were trying to buy a house, like, this is what we have to save up, this is all the fees, and this is that, they nod, and then you can see, it's just, when you talk that big of money, it just, they just don't get it. Sadly, for many Christians, that's what happens when we talk about living for eternity. Because our whole mindset is this walk in the flesh, and we just think so short-term. And we think we got a grasp on things, but we don't realize that when you read the writings and testimony of people who got it, and I can't say I'm one of those people, I mean, people who really got it, that, hey, heaven is what we're living for. They live completely different. That's the blessing that comes with being a son, that promise of what comes next. I hope this was encouragement to you tonight. We're going to stand and pray. I just want to encourage you tonight that as a child of God, we are blessed. We are blessed. Even when that blessing is in the form of chastisement or there's suffering going on in our lives, remember that we're blessed. As the children of God, we're His adopted sons and daughters. We get to know who God is, and He wants to spend time with us. We get that correction, but it produces something in our lives. We get the comfort if we choose to go to Him and draw nigh to Him. And we get that second coming, the promise of what comes next. That gives perspective on everything that happens here. Amen. I hope this is a blessing to you. Try to think about this as the week goes on. Maybe tonight before you pillow your head and you're praying in your bed, just meditate on some of the blessings that come with being a child of God. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for Your word. Lord, I thank You for looking down on us and seeing us worthy to be saved. I thank You for sending Your Son Christ to die on the cross for us, and I thank You for allowing us to be part of Your family. I look forward to the day when we will get to see all the blessing of heaven. We'll get to stand before You, Lord, and we'll get to understand maybe a little bit more about what was happening here. But in the meantime, I pray that You would help these people and myself to live more eternally, to live in the shadow of Your comfort, to draw nigh to Your side and get to know who You are, and to live righteously and soberly in this world. Lord, as we go on and we leave here tonight, I pray that tomorrow we would have opportunities to be a witness. Lord, opportunities to grow in You, some victory over temptation and sin that's in our lives. Lord, that each day would just be a step closer to You. Lord, that's my heart, and I'm sure it's the prayer of many people here in the room tonight. So in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Lord.